Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Main Menu Live. My name is Jeff Bishop, and we'll be with you here on Mainstream for the next 60 minutes or so, and then available very shortly afterward as an on-demand podcast found at www.acbradio.org/podcasts/Main Menu Live. Tonight, my co-host Daryl Shandro joins me. Hello, Daryl.
Hey there. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. And we were getting all of our panel of experts all together. But before we bring them on board and start discussing things all tech, we wanted to give you all the ways that you can get in touch with us. So let me first give out the number. We'll open up the phone lines just after Access Watch. The number tonight is 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. And you want to take it away there, Daryl?
All right. Well, we also have the MSN Windows Live Messenger up and running, and that's reachable at mainmenu@acbradio.org. And I'm watching that.
Okay.
And speaking of instant messaging applications, at work last week, I just received an announcement that we are changing MSN. Well, we're changing Messenger platforms.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be getting to that. Right? We'll be talking about that. And tonight we're also going to be talking about some public knowledge base articles, both from GW Micro and from Freedom Scientific tonight.
Indeed.
All about Windows Vista. And then Don Barrett is going to be talking to us about his wonderful BlackBerry device. And he's been having loads of fun with that. In fact, I got email from him today on his BlackBerry. We'll have to ask him about that email message because it was sort of an interesting one. and then Randy Knapp is joining us tonight, and he'll be joined by Rick Harmon, and we're going to talk all things Vista. That's right. Both of them have had quite a bit of experience now playing under the hood inside of Vista, and you've all heard Rick Harmon's review, the three-part review that he did for us here on Main Menu, all about Vista. And we're going to get some updates from them because this was recorded a while ago. So that's what's coming up tonight. And if we have some time, we're going to roll back time a little bit and talk about command line applications, specifically Take Command 32 and 4NT. So that's what we got lined up, plus your calls tonight here at 866-400-5333, 866-400-5333. So we're going to get started right after we hear from Jamie Pauls from Access Watch. Take it away, Jamie.
This week's Access Watch software review is for Typability version 2.1.1, and it's brought to us by Access Watch user Jake Joel. His screen reader is JAWS for Windows version 8.0, and his rating is 5. Here are Jake's comments. Typability is a fun, interactive program that teaches blind and visually impaired youngsters basic typing skills. It uses the JAWS for Windows screen reader for all exercises. The program contains 68 lessons and tells a joke at the end of each lesson. The user has the option of not hearing these jokes, plus many other program options available via Preferences menu. There is also a speed test available in some, but not all lessons. You can read more and download a demo version of Typability at http://www.yesaccessible.com. There is also a link to Typability on the training section of Freedom Scientific's website. Thank you, Jake, for that review. Come visit us at www.accesswatch.info and check out our blog at http://accesswatch.wordpress.com. Have a great week.
You're listening to Main Menu Live, airing at 2 hours Universal on Wednesday. To participate in the show, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
That's right, and the phone lines are now open, and we're ready. Okay, great. We have everybody. All right, great.
I have accounted for everybody.
We had some people MIA for a while. But everybody is back. Yay, absolutely. Hey, let's welcome everybody. Hello, Don. How's it going?
Doing good, Jeff. How's everybody?
I'm doing great. And Randy?
Good. Good evening.
I'm sorry that you're missing your basketball game, and we know that was a very serious, it was a difficult thing for you to do, and we already have a caller. We're going to ask the caller to hold on just a minute, but welcome aboard. And Rick, welcome aboard, sir.
Good evening.
The melodious tones of the Harmon. All right. Well, let's bring on our caller. I'm not exactly sure what they want yet, but let's find out. I suspect it's Vista. Let's find out. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hello.
Hello there. How can we help you tonight?
Thanks for having me on there. I've got a question.
Okay.
And I'd like your comments on the matter. And if it's off topic, I humbly apologize in advance.
It's open phones tonight, so anything's on topic.
Well, here we go. I have heard rumors that Freedom Scientific is suing Ceratec.
Okay.
Because of the name Freedom Box.
Okay.
And if that be true, that would be a very sad thing because I used to use JAWS a great deal, and I am now using System Access a lot because I do work with other people's computers and they don't always want me to install stuff on it, And I think all the different screen reading programs have their strengths and weaknesses, and it's a shame that that there's a squabble between any two companies like this because, we're such a tiny market to begin with.
Sure. Okay. Do you want us to comment on that?
Yeah, and I'll hang up. And, one more thing.
Yeah.
I got onto Access Watch and did not find the place where I could write a review of a program.
Okay. We don't have Jamie Pauls here tonight, but what I would suggest that you do is there should be a contact link on his website. You should be able to email him and get in touch with him, and he'll be more than happy to help you out.
Okay, terrific.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, great.
Bye-bye.
The only thing that we can do here tonight is confirm that, yes, there is a lawsuit pending between Freedom Scientific and Ceratec Corporation. And I'm not sure that we can really make any further comments other than that. But we do appreciate you calling in and asking that question. Daryl, did you have any further comments on that?
I would just say that the blindness community mailing lists and Google and other resources would be a great way to learn about everything that you might choose to do to tell the parties involved what you think about it.
Yep, and there's nothing wrong with that as being consumers of those products. So, all right, well, moving on. The number 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF, and we have another caller. Let's bring the caller in. Boy, it's going to be a busy night. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hi, this is Tina.
Hello, Tina. How's it going tonight?
It's going all right.
Great. How can we help?
Well, I understand the previous caller's, inquiry. And I'm not sure if you guys can mention it, but I wonder if I can mention it.
No, we can't.
Okay.
Okay. But I appreciate that, Tina. And did you have anything else tonight?
I've just be really interested in hearing about those command line programs.
Yeah, well, we're going to try to get to that, definitely.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Tina. Okay. Well, I wanted to move on now to giving Don Barrett the floor and giving him an opportunity to talk about a really cool device that he has been playing with, and that being his new BlackBerry device. And I know I got an email from you today from it, Don, and why don't you give us a little bit of a rundown on what that's all about?
Sure, I'll be glad to. For those of you who may have heard of the term BlackBerry, it's very simply a system developed by a company called Research in Motion, RIM. And what it involves is a series of email servers which do what's called push email, so that, and it's wireless push email, so that because I am now using a BlackBerry device, everyone else at work has BlackBerries hooked to the corporate server, and they get wireless email as a result. And for a long time, we've been asking RIM about the accessibility of their devices. The long and the short answer is that because the BlackBerry software on the RIM devices are written in the micro edition of Java, which contains no accessibility API, they really haven't been in the position to make their devices accessible. The cool thing, though, is that there are other devices under the Symbian operating system, particularly what's known as the third-generation Symbian phones, which run a piece of software called BlackBerry Connect. I've got a Nokia E62, which is running Symbian 60 third generation, and it's also running a number of other pieces of software, including BlackBerry Connect. So now, because we use Singular as the provider, and through the Singular connection with the BlackBerry Enterprise server, I now can send and receive wireless email along with my sighted colleagues at work in the same way that they would using their RIM devices. There is also BlackBerry for Internet service, and those of you who want to find out about whether, you know, or not your provider of email would support that, I'd get in touch with your providers and find out whether they would support BlackBerry Enterprise for Internet services. And then it's simply a matter of taking your screen reader of choice, Talks or Mobile Speak, and finding the phone that will work with that device and at the same time also work with BlackBerry Connect software. So there's a little bit of research involved, but it's well worth the effort. I can be sitting in cars or trains or whatever and just get and receive email in real time. And it's kind of fun, but it's also, I'm not sure from a corporate perspective whether I want to be available 24/7, but
yeah,
at least
right.
I can say I have the choice now.
Yeah, well, some of us are available. Cool. Some of us are available 24 hours a day, it seems, at our jobs. And
yep.
Very interesting. And when I went into the Singular store, because I've been looking at replacing my phone, I looked at the BlackBerry devices, but you know, I didn't really even think that they would even be accessible. So this is something that I'm really going to actually start looking into, because I think some of these BlackBerry phones actually have some pretty decent keyboards on them.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, even better.
Well, the key is, again, it's the third generation Symbian, and you want to make sure the screen reader that you pick is going to work with that third generation software.
Right.
And you also want to make sure the phone and the provider will work with BlackBerry Connect. And once you get all those pieces lined up together, it kind of turns out to be a very nice system.
Very cool. And I was surprised I actually got an email from you on your BlackBerry. So, and it came quick. I mean, now did you use an external keyboard on that, Don, or did you use the keyboard on the phone, or how did you do it?
Actually, I'm able to use the keyboard on the phone. The G key, which is also the number 5 key, is marked with a little nub,
uh-huh,
just like on the home row. The F and J on a standard keyboard.
Yeah.
It is a very tiny keyboard, and I use the first finger of each hand to count and find the keys.
Oof.
Sighted folks like to use their thumbs. I'm not a good thumb user. I'm much better because you got to feel and count and figure out where you are in relation to the other keys. But I'm sending emails with the best of them.
Can you touch type on it, Don?
Yeah.
You can, okay.
Because it's just like a QWERTY keyboard. For example, if you're on the letter S, you know that above it is W and below it is X. You know, the same with D, E, and C. It's just, if you know your QWERTY keyboard, you can certainly touch type on it. I'm not fast, but I can certainly send short messages and communicate in real time.
Oh,
and,
cool.
It's quite an experience.
All right. Daryl, do we have any questions on the Messenger side?
Okay.
Daryl, do you have any questions on the Messenger side?
All right.
Jeff, are you there?
I am here.
I am. I'm just sitting here trying to get over the fact that Don can count.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm here, Daryl.
Well, my words don't come across the best sometimes, but there's a backspace key on the unit, which is very helpful.
Yeah, that's really good.
Well, that's really cool that we have some accessibility to that network. That's even if we don't still have accessibility to the devices themselves. I was going to go next, and essentially, as related to this topic, we're switching MSN, or I keep saying MSN, we're switching instant messaging platforms at work. We're going to be using the Jabber/XPP protocol. So fortunately, it is an open platform where there are lots of clients available, and I'm trying out Exodus. And I've also I've also heard about and had recommended to me Miranda. So do you guys have any ideas on Jabber/XPP messaging clients?
Yeah, one of the things that, can you hear me now, Daryl?
Yes, I can. We couldn't hear you earlier.
Oh, that's really strange. I could hear you guys just fine. Yeah, we're looking for feedback from listeners tonight, too, on this question, because I don't think Randy or Rick or Don has any experience. Do you guys have any experience with other Jabber clients?
No.
Rick,
none
do you?
None whatsoever.
How about you, Rick?
No, sir.
No, okay.
No,
all right.
Sir.
So I know that they're, we're on Skype, everybody, so there is a little bit of a delay here. If anybody listening out there tonight has any experience with Miranda or any other Jabber clients, we'd love to hear from you tonight on their accessibility. So,
speaking of MSNs, we have a few.
Okay, let's go ahead.
So Ming would like to know, hey, is there going to be a demo or a review similar to what Rick has done on Windows Vista using HAL or System Access or Windows?
Yes, we are actually working on, Rick will be working on a Windowize version of what he's done for us, and we're working with Ceratec Corporation in coming up with the format to get something together from them using System Access, and we'll be in touch with Dolphin as well. So, yeah, the plan is to try to get everybody, kind of everybody walking through those same areas within Vista so that everyone has a good idea, and that's our goal. So,
and
go ahead, Randy.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. One of the things that I would be interested in, Rick, when you take a look at that, is I've already seen some pretty fundamental prompt differences when you're tabbing through the default layout, say, of a control panel with JAWS versus WindowEyes. Some of the controls are called entirely different things. Now, obviously, you're going to say, like what? And I'm going to say, I can't recall at the moment, but I would like you, when you go through that, you might make some mental notes, especially like when you get to the control that changes it from the standard links layout to more of a list view layout. I noticed that they weren't addressed as the same thing, and I think that's kind of interesting. So it sort of begs the question, who's really calling the control right, and is it because they can see the control, or is it because they've come up with a label because they had to?
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? And that's a really good...
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, I don't know if there has really been an industry-wide adoption of, you know, what are all of these new control types called? And, you know, perhaps that's something that, that we as a community can work on and coming up, you know, come up with some sort of a standard and suggest it to the entire industry as a whole so that, you know, I mean, obviously, look, you know, not, I mean, every screen reader isn't going to have every feature that everyone needs. I mean, so, you know, everyone is using multiple, or at least, you know, a good majority of people are. And so, yeah, it would be good to adopt a standard. Maybe Microsoft can help in that instance as well. We have a caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hello, everybody. It's Beth from Newport News, Virginia. Hope
Hello,
everybody's
Beth.
Doing well tonight. I sure am. And I wanted to say, first of all, that I really, really enjoyed Rick's three-part series. Thank you very much, Rick. And the other thing is that I had written to Next Generation Technologies. Jeff, you had them on not too long ago about JSA 5.0.
Yes, uh-huh.
And I wrote, just for the heck of it, to ask if they were doing anything with Vista, and they said yes. They are working on a 6.0, which will be out, and that will work with Vista. I don't know if they are also doing things for XP in 6.0, but I do know that they said that they are 6.0 will work with Vista. So I would suggest that when possible, you have them back,
okay,
and have them do a presentation on that. And with that, I'm going to hang up. I just want to tell you
a little tidbit
of information.
Well, hold on, Beth. Hold on. Did they give you a timeline as to when that's going to be released?
They said in a few weeks.
Oh, that soon.
And,
oh,
yeah,
wow.
I mean, you know, I can't. They didn't say that was written in stone, but I mean, that's what they are trying for. That's their goal.
Okay.
And
well,
so
I will get in touch with my contacts with them tomorrow.
Yeah, it really sounds exciting. And that speech recognition that Microsoft has built into Vista is pretty darn good, especially considering what Rick was doing and, you know, the load that was placed on his PC. But I'll tell you what, that JSAY smokes, man. That is great.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Okay.
I have to agree.
Okay, well, I'll look forward to that whenever you can get it going.
Okay, well, thank you, Beth, for
Thanks,
calling in.
Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah, Rick, now let's talk about that just a minute, and I know we're kind of jumping all over the place tonight, but caller's kind of direct. So, Rick, tell us a little bit about that. Tell us again what type of machine you recorded that on and, you know, what kind of microphone you were using. We noticed that the recording was a little bit distant. And, you know, because this would give listeners an idea of potentially, you know, why some of it probably didn't react as well as it did. And I don't necessarily think it was is because of Microsoft's software necessarily, right, Rick?
No. That was really rigged up. All the rest of the recording, I was using a USB microphone and I was recording to Goldwave. But what I had to do in that particular segment, and you could definitely hear a voice change, is I had to switch. I had to turn, you know, my speakers down because it was interfering with the speech recognition. I had to use I was just using a cheap stick mic, you know, for the speech recognition itself. I was running the speech recognition, which takes a lot of processing power. I was running Goldwave, which takes, you know, a tremendous amount of processing power while it's recording. And on top of that, I was running multiple programs.
You're lucky it worked at all, Rick.
Yes, and it did. And there were a couple segments I had to chop out of there because it messed up so bad it messed the recording up too.
Oh, wow. Ouch.
So I was running 100% load all the time with that. And in the defense of the speech recognition, when I was working on it the night before, when I was just using it and playing with programs, it worked much, much better. I don't know what the deal was with the Windows M key thing, but it did work much, much better than it did on the recording.
That's great. We have another caller.
I'm running a 3-gig machine with 1 gig of RAM.
Okay, 3-gig machine. Okay, yeah. All right, let's bring in our next caller. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hello, everybody. This is Chris. How you doing? It's Toonhead.
Hey, Toonhead. How you doing, buddy?
I'm recovering.
Oh, good. Well, our thoughts and prayers are with you, buddy.
Well, thank you. That's very cool. I just want to thank Rick for the wonderful Vista review. The only thing I noticed, and I'm not sure why this was, but I noticed that the speech was a bit fast in some of the sections, and it seemed like it was farther away and kind of close in some. I'm not sure why that was, but you know, other than that, it was good.
Yeah, I think that's just because of the way that his studio is set up, isn't that
okay.
the case, Rick?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I had my jaws right up a little high, and sometimes my mic was placed a little differently.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's not a huge deal. I just wanted to. It's not a bad thing. It's just, hey, as long as you get the information out there. And
that's right.
That's a good thing. I did want to kind of go off topic for just a second.
Okay. I had a question for you. I had a question for you, too. And,
Go ahead.
Because I know you've played with a bunch of different instant messaging applications, and I'm hoping, uh-huh. have you played with Miranda or any of the Jabber type clients at all, Chris?
I have actually played with Miranda a little bit. The only thing I don't really like about it on my system is that it won't read the entire contact list. Like, let's say if someone has a really long screen name, it cuts it off.
Oh, that's interesting.
Now, and I'm sure that can be fixed. You know, because I'm sure that if you like drag the window with the mouse or something like
yeah.
that. But it reads fine. I mean, if you have a conversation with someone, it certainly reads okay.
Now, are there JAWS scripts or Windows set files for it? Or?
There are JAWS scripts. I don't exactly remember the exact URL. I can get that to you if you need me to. But I have played with the JAWS scripts, and they do help a little bit with actual focus issues. Sometimes the window
okay.
will go out of focus if you, like, jump between windows.
Uh-huh.
And but it works great, most of the time anyway. And there are different
cool.
plugins you can get for it.
I have the scripts. And the Miranda plugin itself on my website.
Of course you do, Rick.
Oh, cool. BlindGeekZone.net.
Jim Grimsby sent those up to me.
Okay, great.
There you go.
So I'll
be giving those a try this week.
There you go. Why don't you go ahead and give your website, and then we'll let Chris ask his other question. What's your website, Rick?
Okay, the website is www.blind-geek-zone.net. .net.
All right, great. Okay, Chris, you had another thought or question.
It's actually a recommendation. I know a lot of people have been looking for accessible MP3 players.
Ah, yes.
And I think I found the one, okay? It's called the Creative Zen Stone MP3 player. It's only a gig. I know that's not a lot these days. But it's available in many different colors, if you can see colors. It's available at Amazon.com for like $40. And the cool thing about this is it has no screen to speak of.
Really?
It only has a couple of different buttons on it, and it requires no software.
Ooh, so you can access it like a drive then?
Exactly. Now, okay. there is software for it, but you don't need it.
And I heard from
nice.
The Ranger Station blog that it also plays Audible.
It certainly does, and different WDM or DRM content as
Ooh.
Well.
Keep in mind that it's Format 3 on Audible, though. It does not do Format 4, which is... Oh, does
there
it do 4?
Yeah, 3 and 4, I think it is.
We'll do some research and make sure of that, but... Now, what about, will it work with NetLibrary and OverDrive and
I'm not sure about that.
Those are, those...
Windows Media DRM.
So it should. Randy or Don or Rick, have you guys heard of this or seen it?
I haven't seen that particular player, no.
It's pretty new, I take it.
I just heard about it the other weekend. Yeah, I think it's pretty new.
Mm-hmm. My wife's going
to
kill me if I buy another MP3 player.
I've got like four of them now.
Yeah, well, you're
now
not
Karen's
married.
Karen's going to be like,
I know,
Karen's
not yet.
Karen's going to be like, isn't three enough?
Yeah, exact. No kidding.
But my girlfriend supports my MP3 player. And he's like, dude, buy more.
Yes, well.
In fact, she bought one yesterday, so she's going to be the guinea pig and tell me how it works for her. She's blind as well, so she'll be the one to tell me how it works for her. So.
All right, great.
But yeah, I just thought I would throw that out there and let everybody know it. It's available at many different places for like around $40, I think it is, and that's pretty cool because you have other players that have cost much more than that.
That's actually a pretty pretty decent price.
Pretty decent price.
And yeah. I hear it's pretty darn small too.
It is. That's the only problem. I think that you could almost lose it if you're not careful.
Yeah.
But
don't give one to Randy. He'd lose it.
There you go. Thank you. You know, everybody, we'll all lose our MP3 players and buy more. How about that?
Yeah.
That works for me.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think both of our wives who are named Carrie would not have, would not be too happy, but.
They're okay. No fun.
Yeah. All right, Chris, we'll let you go. Thanks for calling
in. Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bye.
Go ahead.
Minor update on the MP3 player front, and that is with, as you know, I have an iPod video using the Rockbox software, and in their most recent round of updates, they've actually done some work to increase battery life and also to eliminate a major lockup I was having, which sort of made me wonder where they were going with their software, but it's like back to being stable again, so I'm very pleased.
Oh, good.
With where it's going. Yeah, I'm getting about 12 hours now between charges. And,
good.
And I've got about 500 albums on my video. So, I mean, that's a lot of music to be dealing with.
Oh, that's a heck of a lot of music. That's great. All right. Well, we wanted to give you guys about 10 minutes or so to kind of talk about or however long you guys want to talk about it. And we can kind of go around the table and kind of talk Vista in general. Both Rick and Randy have had opportunities to play with Vista with, I know, JAWS for Windows 8.0 Public Beta 2, and I know that you, Rick, have had some time to play with WindowEyes as well. And I wanted to get your guys' impressions of Vista as well as, you know, where you guys think the screen readers are now. You know, we've had Vista now for, what, 4 or 5 months? And, it's... it'd be just kind of interesting to go around the table and talk about it. The one thing we want to preface all of this by saying that we know that JAWS for Windows 8.0 is in public beta right now. So the comments that are said here in reference to that, you must keep that in mind, and that it is not a released version for Vista at this time. So we know that, you know, obviously if it's beta, there's probably going to be, you know, some issues. I mean, Freedom Scientific even acknowledges that. So remember that the issues that may be discussed tonight are more than likely issues that will be fixed, in the final version. So let's see.
It's also important to understand that if you install the public beta on a Vista system, that any support issues go through the beta feedback form
exactly.
And not through tech support.
And it really is critical,
so
everybody.
Beware.
It really is critical that if you are going to go ahead and, you know, get Vista and play in that playground, that it's really imperative that you communicate with the vendor of your screen reader, whether that be JAWS for Windows and Freedom Scientific or I even know, you know, like, for example, Dolphin. You know, that you are communicating with them and submitting your issues to them, because, you know, if you don't, they're not going to know that they exist potentially. So it really is important and to your best interest to take that time, go up to their website and make that happen. So, all right, why don't we start with Rick and then we'll get Randy's impressions, and then we'll kind of go back and forth. And Rick, you can ask Randy to interject any time or, you know, however you want to handle that. So take it away, Mr. Rick.
Okay. Well, for the most part, I was pretty impressed. A lot of the problems that I initially thought were screen reader issues, I have now seen that they're actually Vista issues. So I don't know if that's good or bad.
Oh, that's interesting, but, isn't it? Now, have you found that to be the case, Randy?
Well, Rick, if you could sort of cite some problems, then I can get a better idea of how you think that.
A lot of the focus issues, the Windows Mail focus issues, the Windows Explorer focus issues, some of the Internet Explorer focus issues.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've heard this elsewhere too, that there were some focus issues, and so that is kind of interesting to hear that. Wow, that's kind of surprising.
Because initially I thought they were JAWS problems, but
right.
Then as I started messing with WindowEyes and System Access and what have you, I noticed the same problems. So, you know, it's obviously not, you know, it's not just a screen reader issue.
Go ahead, Don.
I want to ask you guys, I mean, is that something inherent in the mirror driver technology that we need to be concerned about? Is it something that the screen readers can overcome? Is it something that Microsoft needs to be aware of? This kind of concerns me that you guys are seeing this, because you would think that all things being equal, the operating system should behave, and Microsoft would have you believe that it does for us.
Well, let me first tell you that there have been unresolved Windows XP focus issues since the launch of Windows XP. So I think you really have to lay some of that at Windows' feet. So I'm not altogether sure that it's entirely the property of the screen reader. But having said that, that's a call that I think most of us really don't know how to make, because we may have our opinions, but we're not at the code level, and we're not able to really say what is the driver giving the application. I think what it means that we have to do is be in the ear of the screen reader vendor and then let them go back. If they think it's a problem with Microsoft, they can certainly get their attention and say, fix this. I mean, Doug has done this on multiple occasions, and I would imagine we'll continue to do this. I would bet that Freedom does, too. So I think that's the approach. And I think, actually, that's part of the problem, is that while we all may have ideas about what we think is broken, we're so far removed from the way in which the information's obtained that it's really kind of a subjective call sometimes. I mean, we might be right, but, maybe we're not always right. So, I mean, I think you still have to lean on the vendor. I think that's what you have to do. And then they can lean on their source of support if they think it's not their fault.
What do you think, Rick?
I agree. It is just my opinion. But I did notice that a lot of these issues came up with System Access as well, and it does things differently than Window Eyes or JAWS as far as, it doesn't use a DCM or anything, or mirror drivers. And the one focus issue two of them I'll address, is the Windows Mail issue, which all the screen readers did the exact same thing, as you arrow down through the folders. As soon as it comes across a folder that has messages in it, the focus instantly changes to the list view.
Hey, Windows XP as well, by the way.
Yeah, and in my computer, on Windows Explorer, if you Alt-Tab in and out of there, once you come back into my computer or Windows Explorer, the focus isn't in the same place. And all of the screen readers did that as well, regardless of where they use the mirror drivers or just, their own ways of doing it.
It would be interesting it would be very interesting to turn a screen reader off and, for example, if you have someone sighted there, and kind of mimic, what you're doing with the keyboard and see if these focus issues happen, because I'll tell you, that would give you the answer, folks, whether that's a screen reader issue or, well, at least it's high probability that would give you an answer. And, there's a service pack coming out, I think, who knows, but I mean, the guess is...
End of the year?
Well, I don't know. I've heard August, so I don't know. I mean, who knows?
Okay.
I mean, well, but then again, we,
Yeah, which year?
Well, exactly. Vista took quite a bit longer to come out, and so, who knows when the service pack will come out, but maybe some of these issues will be addressed, and let's face it, there's a lot of other issues in reference to driver compatibility and things like that people are running into. One of the things that I've been kind of curious about. Do you guys know if Creative have come out with drivers for their older sound cards?
I haven't looked, but I will.
Yeah,
that's
yes,
a really
to some
good
extent.
Question.
They have. Okay,
yes.
Because
I'm using an Odyssey 2 here, and that's not a new card.
No, I'm using two Odyssey 2 cards, and then an onboard NVIDIA card in my machine.
Yeah.
And
they definitely support the Odyssey series.
Oh, well, okay, that's good, because they didn't a couple months ago.
Yeah, because I have Odyssey drivers running.
But it's not unusual for them to take three to five months to get caught up like that. I mean, but I'd be shocked if they didn't support Odyssey. Yeah. One thing that I've noticed, and Rick, my comment was more in terms of the protocol rather than not agreeing with you on where you think focus is being lost, because I agree with you. It's just my feeling on that is that our lens is still the screen reader.
Sure.
And even if we think something is Microsoft's fault,
sure,
they're the people that interface with Microsoft. They're in the best position to really understand how they get what they get, and they're in the position to lean on them. Having said that, I'll lay something out, and I'm wondering what you feel about this. You know, I'm kind of a new school, old school kind of guy. I love the search feature in Vista, but I like my views in a list view. Okay? So what I have noticed is that if I go into my computer and I just start looking between my drives with JAWS, it mistracks the view. And I hear dinging when
yes.
I hit the down arrow several times to go from resource to resource. I eventually get there, and I can use my insert 8 to verify that I'm there, but that's really annoying. Now, again, I want to remind everybody, they're a beta product, and they've got time to fix this, and I have every faith that they'll make an effort to do this.
Oh, sure they will.
I don't know whether the issue is something that XP is doing to confuse it, or if Vista's you doing to confuse it, or if there's something got fixed along the way that broke something else, and that's what we're dealing with, because you just don't know.
Yeah,
we have.
We have an
MSN about sound card compatibility. If you're interested.
Yeah, go ahead, Daryl.
Okay, Matt says to answer the question about Creative drivers, they have not released a Sound Blaster Live driver, but they do have Audigy drivers.
Okay,
so there you go.
Well, that's good, and hopefully,
and they probably never will release a live driver.
Yeah, probably not. And let's hope that Vista will pick up the two Audigy cards that are in this computer, because I'll tell you something, you literally have to sing and dance and stand on your head and pray really hard for them to actually both get seen and get named right. It took hours for me to get that configured, and they don't play well together. Two of the same card doesn't work too well. You've got to really kind of finagle it. But
yeah.
and I'm not the hardware guy, that's for darn sure.
As far as what you were saying about the list navigation, I've noticed that a lot in Vista. You know, if it's left in the tile view, I've noticed JAWS works very poorly with it. Window Eyes did appear to work better to me, what little I've played with it.
I agree.
It didn't seem to have near the problems. Same thing with dialogue issues. JAWS doesn't speak a lot of the dialogues.
Yeah, I got one where I was installing something and it said, it was asking me, do I want to go ahead and run it anyway or something, and I had to go find it with the JAWS cursor, and I'm going, whoa, this is a step back.
Right, and sometimes even with the JAWS cursor, it just says graphic this or graphic that, and I noticed Window Eyes did perform much better there for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think...
Window Eyes read the dialogues automatically, too.
Yeah, I think a lot of this has to do with, well, who knows exactly? I mean, I would be guessing just as well as everybody else sitting around the table here tonight, but, I mean... You know, I know that Freedom is working hard and they're working on the product and I'm sure that, you know, I mean, this is definitely, what is this, their second public beta for Vista or third?
Yes, the second.
Second, right.
Second
okay.
Public beta.
That's what I thought.
And
so,
hopefully a third is forthcoming here very shortly.
Yes, exactly. And I think, you know, that they're going to make, you know, leaps and bounds in getting a lot of these issues resolved.
Well, that's what I said on the tutorial. I wanted to make it very clear that, like you said, it is a beta. I have no doubts that Freedom will fix these problems, and I don't want people to look at the demonstration and say, oh, well, JAWS don't work worth a crap. Well, you know, in a month, that could all disappear.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, we're sort of just sitting here talking about, okay, what does the current landscape look like? Well, you know, we're probably going to have this conversation again in 6 months and right. Look at it again and go, okay, everybody, you know, where are we at?
There's also, though, nothing wrong with calling it as you see it in the moment.
Because
what is.
Well, absolutely. I mean, well, of course, if it's a public beta, then we as consumers have the right to be able to discuss and inform, you know, the vendor of the issues. And that's why they provide the public beta form. And
that's right.
And it's really, really, really important to make sure that we are, you know, communicating with whatever vendor has a public beta, that you get those issues to that vendor so that they can get those issues resolved, or at least so that they're aware of them.
We have
Go ahead, Daryl.
Matt just also said that he believes that there is an unofficial, and quote unofficial quote type driver for SMB Live Carts.
But very, very.
There you go.
Well, there you go.
Oh, good for unofficial drivers. I love them.
Yeah, there's also an unofficial XP-SP3 that hackers are putting together. Not sure I'd trust that either, but.
Just to be complete, what were you going to say, Rick?
Well, what I was going to say about the beta process, and where I kind of have a problem with FS, and I really don't want to bash anybody or anything, but. People keep telling me that, you know, they're submitting stuff through the beta feedback process, and they don't hear anything back from Freedom Scientific.
Yeah.
And if you try to talk to Freedom Scientific in any official way about Vista support, they just say, you know, no way, we're not going to talk about it. And, you know, they really need, when you supply them with feedback on the beta, they need to get back to you.
Yeah, well, I think...
And I'm being told they're not.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something that really, you know, should happen. And maybe a wiki or some sort of a bug, you know, public bug tracking system where you can go in and query the system, something like that would be...
They could use Bugzilla or something.
Yeah, they could use...
Well, I'll tell you what, Rick, I think what you do is you keep track of all the bugs you submitted in the public beta process, and when the final release comes... If the majority of those bugs haven't been addressed, then it's open season. You have every right at that point to say something.
But what's kind of scaring me even more, though, right now, is a lot of these bugs that I've seen with build 2107 in Vista.
Were there in the prior one?
I've come back to XP now for the last week. I've been working in XP again because I've had projects to do.
Yeah.
And I'm noticing all these bugs.
I don't want to go there.
Yeah, I think it's best that we kind of leave that alone. But
right, and what I'm trying to say is this: is that just because the bug is in Vista doesn't mean
it is not also in XP.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
I think that, and I'm going to say it this way, and the chips will fall where they do. Consumers have a right to track their input into a company, having worked for a company for a number of years. I think Jeff's still waiting for his macros.
You're so
Arctic bad. Business vision. So, I mean, I can tell you this from having been on the other side of that fence. I mean, you have the right to track the input of your comments, and if you honestly think that a company is responding, then you give them love and you give them strokes and you say, that a boy. And if over a number of years, if you think bugs you keep submitting and resubmitting don't get attended to, then that also says something. And I think the chips fall where they may based on everybody's experience with that company. And it's fair for each consumer to assess that and make their own decision appropriately. Now, was I tactful enough, guys?
Well, I think this happens in the mainstream market. I mean, look at the Microsoft News Groups, for example. There are plenty of people on there complaining about bugs in product that have been there, you know, for 5 years. And so why should we as, you know, a blindness community or of consumers be any different than the mainstream market and be able to do exactly the same things? And that's what mailing lists are for. That's what those things are for. And I believe deep down in my heart that Freedom Scientific is watching those mailing lists. They're aware of what the community is saying.
And we have an MSN from a listener.
Hold on 1 second, Daryl, and we'll get to that in just a second. Go ahead, Don.
I was just going to say real quick, I mean, look at the sighted community in the sense that in January or February, it was almost an official announcement that the Social Security Administration was going through Vista this April. Well, I talked to somebody there a couple weeks ago, and they said it's going to be a good year while they're reevaluating everything. So there's a lot of turmoil about Vista in all scenarios and in all groups. And, you know, we tend to think it's just us. But, I think a lot of users are rethinking and thinking about how and when and if and under what circumstances they want to migrate. And it's a very big, complicated issue. And for us as well, too.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I got rushing to Microsoft's defense, not that they need me to do this or anything like that. But I honestly think, and I'd be, Rick, I'd be love to hear your comment on this, but I think Vista is the next step forward. And I think regardless of what issues they come out with before their first service pack, it's going to allow a lot of neat things to happen. The media center features, I love the way they approach the whole issue of security in Vista when it comes to administrative rights, that you as an end user are an administrator, but every program you install may not be given administrator privileges unless you decide to grant them either every time it's run manually or by going into the advanced tab of the properties and checking the box that says, I always want this program to get administrative rights. And why did Microsoft do that? To make it a lot harder for these programs to, you know, glom onto your computer and start making decisions for you, because if you had administrative accounts privileges in Vista, your whole computer was open season.
Yeah, well,
so I mean, that's really good.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Okay, Daryl, go ahead, because we're kind of getting near the end of the show here. So go ahead, Daryl.
Tina wants to tell everybody to visit SaveSaratech.org for the petition on the FS versus Saratech issue.
Okay. All right. And
there you go.
Thank you, Daryl. And okay. Well, let's kind of go around the table for any last minute comments, and we'll start with Rick and Randy on the Vista side, and we'll have you go first, Randy.
Well, it's just a kind of a restatement of things. You know, all of you remember back to when XP was first released and how we had security patches within 4 to 6 weeks of the first release, and everybody was wondering whether, the network UNP protocol was going to be something we could really use, because if you chose to use it, you might be opening up your computer to everything, and then all of a sudden, you know, through patches and some other efforts, they kind of got it under control. I mean, this is no different. And there's a lot of neat capabilities in there. But I will also add that the caution I will give you is, if you're installing on a system, make certain the monitor you're installing to and the video card you're using is what you intend to use in that system, especially if you give it to another client, because I had a situation where because the monitor I had initially done the install in was a very high-resolution monitor, and the one that the client was using was not, I actually had to go and reinstall Vista. It was a complicated set of reasons, but had to do with the fact that the 30 days of grace had run out, and they wanted me to go in and lower the resolution, but I couldn't lower the resolution because I didn't have access privileges. It was fun and games, but I mean, it all straightened out. But I still feel like there's a lot of things that Microsoft's gone to the trouble to do to try to keep CRUD off your computer, try to keep spyware off the computer, and will they be perfect? No. But is it a better attempt than XP was? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Rick.
I would tend to agree. I think, you know, we're all going to be using Vista, you know, within the next year or so. I don't know about, you know, people using older computers, but certainly if you buy a new computer, don't tell them to put XP on it. You know, you need to bite the bullet. You need to go to XP. This is where we're all going. It's a much better operating system than XP. Granted, it does need more resources to function, but, you know, it's the way we're going, and, you know, that's that.
There you go. All right, Don, and you want to give a last-minute comment on the BlackBerry, and then I think we're going to be almost out of time.
Yeah, if anybody wants to email me offline, don donter@verizon.net, donter@verizon.net. We can talk about BlackBerry issues. I also have a Braille manual for a 6620 Nokia phone. Anybody wants a Braille manual for the 6620, I'm giving away the manual. And that's it for my comments, and thanks for having me on, Jeff.
All right, Darryl. Great. And, Darryl, you want to let everybody know what's coming up next week?
Next week we will have Dancing Dots on to talk all about music and technology for blind musicians.
That's going to be good. Wow.
Yeah, that's going to be a great one. So look forward to that, everybody. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have demonstrations and descriptions of the products in the first hour, and then we'll have them on live in the second hour. You can call in and ask all your questions of them. So we're really, really looking forward to that. Randy, you're not going to want to miss that one.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everybody. Well, listen, I want to thank all of you for participating tonight. It's been a lot of fun, and we're going to have you back in June or early July and you know, just kind of check up on stuff and all that kind of fun stuff. So, all right. Well, with that, we'll wish everybody a good night, and we'll see all of you next week on the next edition of Main Menu Live. Good night, everybody.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.